Well, welcome everybody to our Women in Worship podcast. We're so excited to be with you today. So thanks for joining us. And today we have a really special guest that's in town.
Yes, I'm super excited. Y'all, my friend Gloria Umana is here all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. Gloria is a great friend. We met several years ago on the road as I was traveling. And I had this incredible student that was working with the organization that we were working with approach me about sitting down and just talking about life. And to be quite honest, I'd never really been around people that were a little younger than me that wanted to have an actual conversation about real things.
Some of us have them.
So I got really excited. And, you know, sometimes you have those opportunities with people where you're like, yeah, this is so great. I would love to do that. But in the back of your mind, you're like, 15 minutes tops and we're out of there. And an hour and something, maybe more later, we have been sitting talking, and it's just incredible how when the Lord is in the middle of something, he constantly unites people and your hearts together and knits us together. So I'm super proud of Gloria. Her story is incredible, and she's just going to hang out today and talk and drop some wisdom and some creativity. She has an incredible ministry that the Lord has just given her a vision for and allowed her room in the body of Christ to celebrate and to grow and to learn. And so we're just going to hear all
that.
Hey,
with all that said, thank you for being here.
Yes. Yeah,
thank you so much for jumping on this. Hey, it was quick notice. So she was like, sure, we'll do it. We love that. Hey, maybe start off just with a little context of how you guys met, because I didn't even know.
Yeah.
It's just fun. I always love to hear the stories.
Yeah.
So real quick, how'd you guys meet?
So I think it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I was very much like, I guess, kind of the person that would never go out of my way to talk to people unless like we were already super close friends. And it was right around New Year's Eve, and one of my friends was like, I have a New Year's Eve resolution for you. And I was like, what? And she was like, what if you met with a stranger for coffee every week? And I was like, you are insane.
Like, how many are saying you're insane?
Like, which demon is speaking to you right now? Like, absolutely insane. But then I thought about it. I was like, you know what? Like, I guess I do need to put myself out of my comfort zone. And so I think it rolled around till summertime. And I had been meeting up with people for coffee every week, strangers. And it was actually incredible. They all became really close friends. And then summer came around, and I was touring with, like, a summer camp. And I was like, wait, how am I going to continue doing this? And I was like, wait, there's worship leaders that join us at every location that we do these camps. And so I was like, oh, there's Bethany and some girl. I mean, I guess, whatever.
Some random girl.
Yeah, honestly, I just saw the long Barbie hair, and I was like,
which she still has, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Loving locks.
And so I was just like, hey, do you want to meet for coffee without the coffee? And she was like, yeah, sure. And so we ended up talking for like an hour and a half, and our conversation went really good. And then I think maybe a year later, I was working with a different camp, and Bethany was there again, and I was like, man, I can't escape this girl. And so this was like during a time where I was kind of going into transitioning my senior year of college, like kind of walking into ministry ish and like not sure what the ropes were like, not sure how to navigate it, and I wanted to do it and do it well. So I saw her at the lunch table, and I was like, hey, I've got a couple questions. And I just asked, like, all the questions that have been on my heart, and she was there to really propel me into, honestly, what I'm in right now. Yeah. I feel like that conversation was, like, a monumental moment.
And aww.
So, yeah, you play a pretty big role in my life.
Tear.
We're crying already. Teardrop. We're not even 10 minutes in.
Teardrop.
I love that. It's that God connection.
Yeah.
That's it. So tell us a little bit, because you're talking about ministry. So tell us. So a lot of our listeners are women in worship, but honestly, we're finding out, and we're so glad that all of you guys are here, that we have a lot of men that listen, and a lot of people that honestly just love worship, and that just love the conversation of relationship and how we all do life better together, for lack of, you know, church cliches.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the ministry, like, we had that conversation at the lunch table, but where God was propelling you to, because what Gloria does is honestly a little bit outside of the box of what, say, an average local church would maybe have, or have someone internally on their staff to be able to do.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll have to give a little more backstory
sure
as to how it started. Mm-hmm. I went to Liberty University, and I served as an improv actor on like one of our touring teams, and we would tour and just make a ton of stupid jokes, honestly, make kids laugh, whatever makes them laugh, poop jokes all the time. And I remember they asked me randomly, they're like, hey, we need a spoken word for our next event. And I was like, well, I'm an improv actor, so why are you asking me to do that? But you're paying for my school, so I'm gonna learn how to do that real quick. And so I met up with some friends and learned how to do a spoken word really quick. I did one and it turned out great, and our school found out about it, and they're like, hey, we would love for you to do this at our large gathering. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, what? Like, what? Like, I'm an improv actress, but okay, I'll do it.
But you're paying for my school, so,
I'm gonna do it.
Yes. Right.
And so I ended up doing it, and it turned out great. And they're like, hey, we want you to be on our team, like, full time. We'll pay for your school, blah, blah, blah. And in my mind, I'm like, this is like a team that people dream to be a part of, and this is not a part of my plan at all. In my mind, I was like, I can give y'all maybe 6 people who are really good at this.
Right.
That would be phenomenal at it. They're like, nope, we want you. And I was like, I don't think so. I don't know. Like, I've only ever done one. Like, I don't think I can be the proclaimed spoken word artist here. They're like, no, we want you. And I was like, okay, God, like, you're going to have to come in the clutch. And it was that summer that I sat with you and I had all the questions.
Yeah.
Because I was honestly afraid. Like, I was afraid going into this. I was like, this is not what I do. So it's actually studying. I was a triple major with criminal justice, psychology, and computer science. And the goal was to work for the FBI. And the way to do that was to go to law school.
Time out. What?
Oh, did you not know that?
No.
Oh,
triple major. How many? Oh, my gosh. I'm a triple major. How many people get to say
that's
that?
That's a lot of work.
I was just trying to get out with a major. And you are triple
one
major.
Single one.
Which makes me a little embarrassed, because on the way up here, I was laughing at myself about how academia was not my thing in college. Like, I think as an adult, it's kind of circled back to me, and I feel a little bit more comfortable with it. But then only talking to a triple major... What a dork.
That's
go ahead. That was good. Triple major.
So Bethany feels
FBI.
Stupid.
It's like one of the only ways really to
God
get
can use
with
us
the
all.
FBI is like either you're going to go to law school or you speak like Arabic.
Sure.
And I knew Arabic wasn't going to be my route. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to aim for law school. And it was actually my senior year in December, right after I took the LSAT. I got my results back. Great. I got into the law school I wanted to go to. Great. Everything was going great. And then I was in my photography class, very random, and the professor was like, hey, pick a photographer from this list of photographers and write about him. And I was like, okay, easy. So I picked this girl, just had a cool name. Her name was Jasmine Starr. Mm-hmm. So I go to her website, and her bio said only one sentence. And I was like, what on earth? And it said everything I was feeling at the moment in time. And it said, I've lived a life of safety and security, which locked my creativity in a box and stifled my soul. And I was like, what in
well,
the world?
We can stop the podcast.
I was like, man, this is nothing I was never passionate about this stuff. I just knew safety and security. I'll make a lot of money. Cool, whatever. And over time, I was starting to realize while serving on this team as a spoken word artist, maybe there's something else. But I was like, no. It's senior year. It's too late to be thinking about something else. Like, the plan is already set in stone. And it was kind of just like a leap of faith. God was like, all right, I need to see if you trust me enough to turn down this amazing, prestigious job opportunity that you've been working towards.
Wow.
And it's hardest to trust God when you say no to one thing. And it's not like you're saying yes to something else. You're saying yes to someone. And that's like the hardest thing, because it's a someone that you can't physically see. And for me, that's a very analytical person. I need to understand to believe, very much like Thomas. I need to understand to believe, otherwise I'm going to doubt it.
Yeah.
That was what I call faith right there for me, to be able to take that step. And it's crazy, because I see over time, like, it's kind of like God uses one step to monument you into something else. And so it's like everything has been propelling from that one no. And so I think we think our biggest yes to God is a yes, but our biggest yes is really a no to everything else.
Yeah.
And he reveals that stuff. And so summer came around after graduation, and I got invited to do spoken word in places I could have never thought I would ever do it, and which led to the opportunity to teach, which I absolutely love. And then it led to the opportunity of leading a ministry called the Ex Nihilo Collective, which essentially is the whole heart and goal behind it is to inspire a culture of creating for the sake of the gospel and to cultivate a creative rhythm to the way the world views God. So it's a compilation of about 12 artists that live all over the U.S. That are really great spoken word artists. And together we just figure out, okay, how can we change like the narrative mm-hmm. of the church kind of slacking in the creative realm and the world being better at it?
Right.
And so we do a lot of things that kind of push the envelope a little bit. Because I think we like to play it too safe
sure.
in the church, and anything that seems outside of what we're used to is kind of scary. And it's like, mm-hmm. I don't know if we can go that route. And I'm like, oh, we're called to take risks. So let's take the risks and let's do it in an excellent manner where people aren't left confused at the end of the day, but
yeah.
they're left inspired. Mm-hmm. And that's right. that's kind of the goal. And so mm-hmm. we've just been navigating through that, and it's been a lot of fun. Absolutely.
That is really cool. What I love, what you said, what I picked out was God has been a God of moments for you.
Yeah.
I think he is for all of us.
Yeah.
But just even you saying when you sat down with Bethany,
mm-hmm.
like that was a moment.
Yeah.
And then when you saw that, you know, what's her name? Sorry. The saying on the website. She had the one cent.
Jasmine Star. Yeah.
I mean, that was a moment. Mm-hmm. It was a moment for you. And it's almost like you've had this life of faith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That God has just been, I think sometimes we try to make things happen
yeah.
in our lives, but your life is such a testament to go and, hey, God really ordains the steps
yeah.
of
mm-hmm.
us if we will just let him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I honestly just want to encourage you, because that is it's a huge thing,
yeah.
even at your age, to go, hey, God has just really taken my life.
Yeah.
And he's orchestrated mm-hmm. all of the ins and the outs.
Mm-hmm. We were talking on the way up. Gloria and I commuted an hour to come and to do this with Lee today. And do other things, but this was just super fun, and mm-hmm. we threw Gloria into the fire, and she's doing so well.
In the fire. There's another in the
fire. Take it, girl, take it.
I love it. But what I love is something that we were talking about on the way up here, just kind of rolling into everything that you just said, and what Lee was saying about how your life has been a place of moments. It's realizing, too, that the opportunities that we receive is kind of something that Gloria had said in the car, so I'd love to take all the credit, but we've been talking, and I believe this already, but since you said it first this morning, I'm going
right.
to give you the credit
fair,
for it.
Fair.
But talking a lot about just the idea of how the works and the opportunities and the things that we get to do are really just a byproduct of our time with him,
yeah. mm-hmm.
of being with him, and honestly, not even a level of faith. I think a lot of times we put faith in levels.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, I didn't have enough faith for this.
Yeah.
When God's only said, hey, it's mustard seed. Like, I don't need you to have level 12 of faith.
Yeah.
I just need you to have enough to believe that I can move anything or
yeah.
anyone
yeah.
for the sake of my name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, like, the hook in it all is the fact that the faith and the God moments that we experience in our life, when you're willing to say no
yeah.
and open those doors of opportunity, it wasn't for the sake of as much of what God was going to give you as much
right.
as what God was going to do through you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and seeing a lot of times that our faith, again, is not based on how much or how little, but just if we're willing to have that yes or that no.
Right, exactly.
Because it solidifies a lot of it. I've been reading a lot lately and thinking through, and a lot of my last devotion that I wrote, Plugged In, talked about the difference between faith and hope.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that faith, much of the time, is more of a cerebral, analytical, like we're going, but hope is a matter of our will and our heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we exercise our faith by making decisions, by saying yes and no, but
yeah.
much of the time, our hope is based on, hey, I'm always looking forward.
Yeah.
I'm always looking to what's next, and not next opportunity.
Yeah.
But like we were talking about earlier, looking home.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How does this not get me towards heaven, but how does this push the gospel towards so everybody can go with me?
Yeah.
Kind
yeah.
of thing.
Exactly. We were sharing in the car kind of like a monumental moment for me, like a kind of that aha moment and that epiphany moment when one day I was just reading through 1st and 2nd Corinthians, which honestly are the most powerful books. Paul, we salute you. But there's a portion where it talks very specifically about our assignment. And it says that we're all given an assignment, and everything we do outside of our assignment is just work done in vain. And I thought to myself, I was like, I wonder how much I'm doing outside of my assignment. Like, I need
yeah.
to know, like, God, what is it that I am on
really
this
mm-hmm.
earth
Focus.
To do?
Yes.
And it even goes on to talk about how at the end of it all, like, God is going to put all of our work through the fire. And some people's works, it's going to just barely escape the fire by grace. And then some will be sustained in the fire. And I was like, God, I want everything I do to be sustained by the fire. I don't want it to just escape. And so I'm trying to figure out, okay, God, what's my assignment? What's my assignment? And the more I'm praying about it and asking God about it, I'm realizing, like, God doesn't reveal the assignment when we ask for the assignment. Mm-hmm. He reveals the assignment through an assessment of who we are in our heart. Like, when we have the courage to pray like David and say, search me. Like, that ultimately is it, is, like, being in the presence of God and allowing Him to form us and make us more like Him, the assignment's going to come no matter what. Like, that's just a part of God's sovereignty. Yep. And so I'm learning even still, like, to not value and prize the assignment so much, and like what I'm called to do. I think everyone's like, what's your purpose? Like, what are you called to do? Like, and I'm like, you're missing the focus here. Like, the focus is to know God. And when you pursue God, He's going to make the path clear. Like, that's how it works.
Well, it,
like,
reminds me of Matthew 6:33, which says, if you seek ye first
the kingdom of God. Yeah.
And His righteousness.
Yeah.
All the things will be added. Mm-hmm. All these things will be added.
All these things.
You know, so, and you said a word before we even started the podcast. You were talking about the intimacy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it comes through, I know it comes through the intimacy with the Lord. And sometimes it also takes that faith of walking out.
Yeah.
Of just hearing God's voice, you know, for every step of the way. Like, we're His sheep, He's our shepherd.
Yeah.
If you could just hear Him calling and hear Him follow it, I kind of look at it like it's following in His footsteps.
Yeah.
Like, He's already prepared the way for us.
Mm-hmm.
That we, like, I love what you said. You don't have to just, don't think about your assignment so much.
Yeah.
It's really obedience.
Yeah, that's it. That's
it's what obedience to, like you said, intimacy.
Yeah.
Spending time with Him, listening to Him. I think we don't spend enough time listening.
Yeah. Because I think more time talking.
Yeah, we spend more time talking.
Yeah.
Podcast. It's ironic. We're talking about that.
Chit chat in the way.
But if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you can't make wrong. I mean, you just can't.
Yeah.
You can make wrong decisions, of course, if you get in your flesh. We know all that. But, like, there's such an intimate level with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And He's going to lead you.
That took me, I feel like that took me a while. And I feel like that takes people my age a while to understand, too, mm-hmm. where we so much prize doing for God without ever being with God. And that's, it's really, like, good. Man, that's...
Well, you're in a culture, in a generational culture that says that's the way that it is.
Yeah.
Because of what we visually perceive. Because we've become so visual as a culture that, especially your generation, that we value more of what's done as people in our flesh in general than the knowledge or the things that God's teaching us inwardly to begin with.
Yeah.
Or those of us that have been given the task to say, hey, go and teach others, or go and help lead others, which we all have been given that task, by the way.
Right.
It just all may work itself out differently and look differently. So you may be a mom or a worship leader or an audio director or a teacher or however that looks for you. But at the end of the day, the culture that you come from is saying, hey, you're not doing anything if I can't see it. It's kind of like the Insta adage right now of, like, if we didn't take a picture and post it, it didn't really happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, we laugh about that, but we truly believe that.
Yeah.
Because we'll begin to try to force things in our own place and positional right.
Yeah.
If I can use that word. Mm-hmm. We don't really have any of those rights to begin with. The only right that we have is of a child of God to say, hey, these are what the Lord lays in front of me and says, hey, this is what's offered to me as I follow in obedience to Christ and the salvation that He's given me.
Yeah.
But I think that while, yes, it's a battle for you, and sorry, like, spoiler, it never goes away.
Right.
Because I'm 10 years in front of you, at least. And
probably more.
Yes. Okay. Whoa.
Yep.
Winter. Calm down. Calm down. But seriously, it never goes away. I think it amplifies because we also live in a culture that values age and the younger and the ability, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But I also know that being on the other side of the younger.
Me too.
There are places where if I would have had the opportunities that maybe even say you're getting at this point, and your agent in your ministry, or even others that I see that I'm with, that I get to stand beside and go, hey, this is a great way. Hey, beware of. I don't know that I could have withstood it.
Yeah.
So it's funny how the Lord is continually bringing people like you that are along to be able to sit down and assess the assignment to say, hey, I can't do this on my own.
Right.
And while I could, just think of how great it would be if there were more.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not just doing this out of your own gifting, but you're allowing your gifting to impact and affect other people, and that affects the kingdom.
Yeah.
All the way around.
Yeah, I think, like, understanding that I can't save anybody. My words can't save anybody. No spoken word I write can save anybody. Kind of relieves the pressure that we put on ourselves. Because,
yeah.
I mean, 2 Corinthians 3:5 tells me already that I'm insufficient in and of myself without the power of the Holy Spirit. The words I have to say are powerless, and I can't recall the time that powerless words raised anybody from dead to life. And so it's like, I think once we can understand that, like, this is a mission that I am literally incapable of doing at any capacity, then I think dependence on God becomes much more surreal. And I think that's where I see a lot of people that are way ahead of me, their faithfulness is stemmed from their dependence on God. They don't try to do it on their own, because they know it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, man, that's what I want to chase after, sustainability, which is depending on God to push me through something I can never do on my own.
I love it.
Yeah.
We could literally talk about this all day.
Easy.
Just in a big circle.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could. I like what something you said earlier, Bethany, you used the word, and it's so funny because, Gloria, your life is, our life should all be this. I mean, everybody should be able to look at us as people who say we are Christ-like and know that we took steps of faith and belief and, you know, but just the concept of, you said, not forcing it. So in my mind went to, like, force versus rest. So what does rest, you know, Gloria, maybe look like in your life right now? So, because you can't, in the world's way, because you said even, like, how creativity, how almost they're better than the church at things. I mean, it really is true. So, and where you are now, you have an opportunity to kind of even try to force something to happen, but yet you're in a resting and a waiting. You know, so maybe what does that look like? Speak to somebody now on what that looks like, because even when the Women of Worship dream was in our heart, or anybody's, you know, you got things you're looking ahead to. Maybe what does that look like instead of putting our hand and going the worldly way of push, force, and the Holy Spirit is like, hey, I just need you to rest.
I think part of it is, like, this was never my dream. This was never my plan. And so, naturally, from the get-go, I was like, God, if you want it to happen, you're going to have to make it happen.
That's good.
Because it's like, I didn't get into this because I tried. I didn't get into this because I even wanted to. Like, and so, I think it's because I've seen the way God's moved from the beginning. I'm going to, like, all right, let's just keep letting you do the work. And I was telling Bethany, like, even with starting Ex Nihilo, it was kind of like an idea that God gave me, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna throw it on my website, we'll see what happens. And we got a call from, like, a really awesome organization, and they're like, hey, we wanted to book Gloria, but we saw this Ex Nihilo thing and we'd rather book that. And in my mind, I was like, we don't even have a logo yet, crap, what am I gonna do? And so that's, like, that's one aspect where I've realized, oh, God's gonna make these things happen. I just need to trust that He will. And what I realize is, like, trust that He will, but grind knowing that He will as well. And so that's what's helped with leading a group of millennials who, like, this is just how we are. Like, we kind of are more so just, like, rather just chill until someone pops up with, like, a huge check or something. That's when people are ready to work. And I'm like, no, I think when you understand the heart of God, you work when there's not even a check involved. Because, like, your heart is towards His mission. And so I was like, hey, guys, like, I need you to understand, you're not working for me. You're not working for what you can get out of it.
Right.
But it's like, we need to work so that when God comes and says, all right, I've seen the faithfulness, I'm ready to move, we're ready. And it's not like we're scrambling to, like, catch up. But I think part of understanding, like, rest in that aspect is knowing that I'm going to do what I'm called to do, and I can't bust any doors down, but my faithfulness is what's going to allow God to bust the door down.
That's really good.
And so that's been kind of like, kind of what it is like, just, I think faithfulness is.
Well, sometimes we don't let God work, do it for us. Yeah. And I think about God as a father and that beautiful picture of, you know, and I do realize and want to be sensitive because not everybody has had an amazing earthly father.
Right.
Right.
You know, some have, some haven't. But the beautiful picture of a father is that I know when my children come to me, I know you haven't experienced this yet, Gloria, but
you don't know.
Oh, shoot. Well, maybe I should just stop this podcast right here. But when they, you know, they come to me or they ask me, even when, like, you know, students here come to, I mean, we want to do all that we can for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And what pleasure it gives the Father to actually, when we just stay in a state of rest and prayer and faithfulness, that He just wants to act on your behalf.
Yeah, Dad's going to do it.
I mean, what?
He's fighting for us.
I love that. Love that.
Good. Hey, thank you.
For sure.
Thank you for being a part.
Absolutely.
And for sharing your heart and sharing your ministry. Literally, we could go on all day. So, I think
People would have stopped listening at some point, though.
Well, I think it's an incredible place to stop and to just kind of reflect, because you've dropped a lot of wisdom. And this will not be the last time we have you.
I really hope you
will be reoccurring for us. But we pray for you, and we love you so much, and we trust you, and we pray great things over what you're doing, not because of you, but because of the gifting. And what God's already doing in and through you. Because it's for everyone. It's not just for ourselves. This is the last tidbit. Every time we grow, it is for us to move. But as we grow and share that growth, we're allowing the gospel to continue to move. That's what you're doing. Amen. So, hey, here's the deal. Gloria Umana on Exit. Spell Exenihila. Exenihila.
I need to pronounce it, too.
It's called,
it is Xex-Nihilo. If you don't know what that means, it's Latin for out of nothing, which is how God created this entire world and entire universe.
Is there a .com behind that, or is it just Instagram?
Is it from your website, or how do they?
Everything is at GloriaUmana.com or the TheXNihiloCollective.com or at Gloria Umana or at Ex Nihilo.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You'll see all of that when this podcast goes live. You guys are going to see that on our Instagram feed. And so what we love for you guys to do is to check out Gloria, check out this collective, because I'm not going to say it right, and then she's going to yell at me. But check out both of those things, and first be in prayer for what they're doing, because they are moving the gospel forward in incredibly creative ways. If it's something that you would be interested in hosting for an event or for your church or gathering, or even have them come in and mentor and help foster a community of creativity within your organization or your home church, or however that looks for you, you'll be able to connect directly with them. And if you're still confused about how to do any of that,
message us.
And we are going to connect you directly with all of their community so that you can be a part. We love y'all and we support you. And you're not just women, but you're men and women doing incredible things for the kingdom. And that's what all of this essentially is all about. We love it. Hey, thank you guys for joining us. Check us out. Make sure you like, subscribe, do all the things. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.